Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Tonight's video is about a homeless man who is in Northern California trying to shield himself from the elements of some bad weather. Ventures off into the woods and come across something he was never meant to see. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now let's get spooky. I don't care if you're homeless. Stay far away from the empty campgrounds. It's pouring rain outside. It throws itself at the window. Only darkness, except for the lightning and a tacky neon pink bar sign of a cross above me. I'm sitting here cold and wet, loading a rickety shotgun with a box of shells. The cardboard package is pulp, and all this praying the powder isn't soaked as well. It's funny. I don't even believe in God. It started when I rolled in the town a day ago. I've been homeless for a few years, train hopping west to stay out of the cold. The meth I was shooting up in Utah had me at an all-time low. I don't want to say what I did for the last hit, but I finally drew the line after I got out of Dodge. No family, no friends. Just soiling myself under a bridge and puking in the gutter. Shakes making me wish for death. After about 3 days, I could finally see straight. My dope sickness now settling to a minor ache in the back of my brain. You always want it, but at least it was no longer a need. I crawled out of that hole I was staying in and found a bus stop with a gas station and a bus to town. I used the last of my change to get a Greyhound ticket to Oregon and hitchhiked my way to California. I stepped out of a big rig on the I-5. It was the very edge of town, and he couldn't have me in the trunk when he had reached for the wait station. I thanked him for the ride and watched him as he headed down the road. My hoodie and flannel jacket were enough to keep the cold out in the day. Night was coming soon, however, and I didn't think I'd make it in the town by then. I couldn't just stay on the road either, unless I wanted to be wrapped around an axle at 3 a.m. The only option left was to head into the woods and hope for the best. It was a few miles off the beaten path, wading through dead leaves and dry branches. The autumn air cut into my skin, and the overcast gave a dire warning for anyone who's been out here in the cold. Rain. The subtle ache in my knees and the pressure in my sinuses agreed. I'd have to find something soon. An hour later, in the tree line, I found a stroke of luck. 5 log cabins lined in a row complete with tables, a gazebo, even a podium before an outstretch of open land. It must have been a campground for the summer. Strange, as I knew the lake was on the other side of the mountain. Despite thinking something like this would be more appropriate closer to the water, I wasn't asking any questions. I checked the locks on one of the campsites, and sure enough, it opened. The cabin was warm and clean. Thick beige logs without a speck of mold, and the concrete floors swept clean. All at once, my exhaustion from the weeks on the road hit me as I saw the best part of the whole situation. A bed. An actual bed. It was just a camping cot bolted to the wall, with a pad for a mattress. But it was a bed. I fell face first into the thing and slept. I awoke as panic stirred within me. The sound of an engine coming up the road. Multiple if you listened closely. I did need to have the cops called on me. Half asleep, I snuck back out into the cold overcast outside, skulking in the tree line for a place to hide. I should have left. I should have gone right there, been thankful for the nap and been on my way. I wanted that bed, however. If there was a chance it was just a passerby, or someone there to clean the grounds, I was going to get that bed back. It's funny how small things like a warm place to sleep will make you desperate. Those who arrived were no groundskeeper. A parade of trucks pulled up surrounding a handful of black SUVs. Middle-class men and roughnecks opened the door to those who must have been the Who's Who of the town nearby. The sun was setting, and everyone prepared for what I thought must have been some form of celebration. Canvas tents were raised next to the wooden cabins. A large wooden platform was erected in the middle of everything. The podium watched over the display, making the whole camp into a theater for whatever would occur on that wooden stand. I must admit, sitting there in the bushes, I was intrigued. Hours passed, and the sun went down, the preparations finished. Men went into the canvas tents to change. The majority worked as stagehands, as the affluent in their suits smoked cigars, making small talk in the middle of the festivities. Stranger still, when they were approached, they did so with strange gestures. When men of lower rank would come by, bowed before speaking. The suits would nod and give commands, and the others would do as they were bid. Watching this beneath the trees, I hadn't made a sound. It was like walking in on a great secret. At this point, I was afraid moving would get me caught, so I deemed it necessary to stay. Night fell and the ceremony began. Every one of them had left the canvas tents in white robes and red hoods. A symbol in Armaniac was painted in red upon their chests, and each held a torch alight despite the misting rain. The procession would end before the platform as the wealthy men in suits were now in robes of green. They sat at the podium surrounding the most important looking in the robe of gold and black. The standing men saluted with praises in a strange tongue, the torches raised high above. Finally, one of the leaders, the master of the ceremony in his robes of black with hood unveiled, went to the podium. He raised his hands high and spoke before the crowd.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Brothers, we are gathered here today for the rites by which we abide. The laws beyond all law and rights above all rights.
The crowd answered as one. We all are sworn to silence and the blood is in our hands. I watched in horror, assuming I stumbled across some twisted clan meeting. The rain dripping down my nose and the leaves, yet any rustle or broken branch would have set them upon me. I had to stay, waiting for them to go inside and leave before they found me here, or worse. It was then I learned it was far worse than drunken racists playing in the woods. The man raised a hand against the crowd.
Not all. Some among you are uninitiated. Yet that ends here today.
With a wave of his hand, I saw a handful of them pulling out some poor girl from the back of a trunk. The crowd moaned in a tone both musical and ominous as the girl stumbled, prodded towards the stand.
Some of you have not met our master, yet we are not some paltry sermon calling on you for faith. We serve of God of action, and by him we will reign.
The master of this ceremony pointed towards the stand as candles set alight, the crowd cheering on in praise. The men in green stepped down to descend upon the girl, laying her across the wooden balcony. As she sat in a drugged stupor, they spread her arms and legs, each of these high priests holding down a limb. Her sleepy mumbling of hers broke into a scream as she awoke with a jolt of pain.
A large wooden hammer slammed a rusty nail through each of her hands and feet. Each pound of the mallet ringing from her in a cry of anguish. I choked down a sob of terror as I watched them carry on, her torment just beginning. With a dagger, they tore her stomach open while she was still alive. The crowds moaned, growing even louder, drowning on her screams. Then the robes in green pulled out her intestines with bloody hands, hammering them into grotesque symbols all around. The organs writhing as her screams faltered into a gasping moan of agony and exhaustion.
"Quickly now! If she dies, we have to start again!"
The man in black scolded as the servants worked in earnest. But the preparations were complete. The woman still alive to suffer. The initiates lined up before her dying body, and as the man in black prayed in evil tongues, that strange symbol was painted onto their robes. The blood from her body tipped the brushes for their mark. Her cries grew quieter still, until you could only see her chest heave from exhaustion. The human body is a marvel in just what it can take. I vomited in the brush as I watched them carry on. I had seen men die in the midst of my addiction. But this was sick beyond it all. Finally, the master had declared she'd had enough. It was time to end their little game. He stood above her with the upper skull of a man. Lines of bone cancer writhed along its brow to the point where growths mounted on its forehead, the growths making horns above the bristles of calcified rot. He dipped the skull like a goblet into the blood of her open abdomen, holding it high for the crowd to see. The intestines writhing all around as he stood above the dying woman, muttering incantations as the crowd around him sang an ominous moan. Finally, he drank deep from the cup and the crowd had cut to silence. The woman died with a final sob, and her organs moved no more. I would have thought it over, yet as the man in black pulled the cup away, I noticed that he had changed. His eyes were man's no more. They glowed in the dark, a sickly yellow, power emanating from him as the falling rain bolted to a mist as soon as it fell upon him. A suffocating smell of sulfur permeated the air, and as he cackled in the night, lightning crashing all around. The rain turning to a torrent to applaud their heinous act. His voice was his no more. A guttural echo sounded as he applauded his audience.
"You have served me well this day."
The crowd cheered as their ritual found success. This evil had bore its fruit in earnest. There was not a doubt in my mind that a demon walked the earth before me.
"You chosen few are bound no more by the frail chains of moral virtue. There is but one law and one God you serve. One choice for you to make. Do you serve a corpse, or do you reign with me?"
"We reign! We reign!"
his followers cried the louder. Sitting there in the wet and mud, I watched as the monster in human form waved a hand above his constituents. They rolled and shuddered as their sulfur smell punched my nose even stronger. These people, these evil people, they knew there was good and evil. There were no ignorant or following some superstition to break the monotony of their lives. They knew there was darkness in this world, and they chose it all the more. Unable to stomach any more, I turned to leave when the man in black snapped his head towards me. He smiled in a twisted grin, pulling back his face to the point you could see the sinews in his jaw. It looked unbelievably painful, if there was someone left in there to feel the pain at all.
"My children, we have a guest. Bring him to me and we'll play a little longer."
He laughed as he pointed towards me in the dark. The men in robes began to run. With a burst of fear, I tore away from the hellish creature and his denizens behind me. I did not want to die here. I ran, blisters in my boots,
water soaking my jacket as I ran. The men in robes tearing after me, some even galloping on all fours as they broke through branch and brush. I turned to find a steep hill aside and threw myself upon it. I rolled in the mud as leaves caked my face and twigs broke in my beard. My head was cut on a rock and my body slammed against a tree trunk to break my fall. The concussion had me seen double, yet still it didn't matter.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When I opened my blurring eyes, I saw, in a flash of lightning, the hill did little to slow them down. Half of them leaping in the trees like monkeys as the others slid from rock to rock. I nearly killed myself to get a lead, and yet the gap was closing. I stumbled to gain my footing. Resisting the nausea bubbling in my chest, I kept on. The slick mud caked in my jeans, soaking through leg and crotch alike, shuddering from the beginnings of hyperthermia. Running in the dark, then I came across a place to hide. An old abandoned church in the middle of the woods. It was old and rickety, built of rotted splintered planks, long oxidized of any paint or color. Only boarded pulp to hold up a shingled roof covered in holes. I threw myself inside, falling face first onto the floor. It was wet, yet drier than outside. I gained my footing to lock the doors behind me. I gathered my surroundings to see the place was tiny. Even in its heyday, the parishioners must have been at most a couple of dozen. Rain sputtered through the roof and half the windows, laying shuttered from vandals. I tried the lights, and while none of the bulbs worked, a lone neon cross flickered behind the pulpit. I looked in the janitor's closet for something, anything with which to defend myself. It was there behind a mop and broom I found it. An old break-action shotgun. It was rusty and well past its prime. If there was any mercy in this life, it would work. I found a wet cardboard box full of 20-gauge birdshot. It was hardly enough for killing pigeons, yet it would have to do. So there I was. Bloody, covered in mud and cold. Back against my only source of light, shaking hands loading that single round into the chamber. Sure enough, the Colt had found me. Their faces flashed in the window with their hoods. They cackled with curses, eager to tell me in the ways they would make me suffer. The front door shook from their attack, trying to force their way inside. Bang. I prayed to whatever God could hear me. I don't know what I believed anymore, but I didn't care. I knew evil when I saw it. Bang. My shaking hands ready aimed against the doorway until the third had struck. Bang. The doors split open, pouring in rain and thunder, and so I opened fire. A flash of the muzzle and kicked against my shoulder. As I peppered a man square in that sick little target that he drew in that dead woman's blood. He dropped like a sack of bricks. If it wasn't for the rain, you could have heard a pin drop. Cultists stood there shocked that one of their own had died. The idea that pain could happen to them was unthinkable. A group of children shocked when the animals they abused bit them back. In their confusion, I loaded another. Do I just shoot them again or turn for it and run? A fire escape laid ahead of me, and I wasn't sure if they surrounded me or not. It was then to my horror I had saw the man I shot. With a slow, patient determination, he sat up, blood covering his shirt where I peppered him with my round. He didn't look to have felt an ounce of it. It was in that moment I could see glimmer in his eyes, and behind that hood I even saw a smile. I turned away and ran, hurling myself into the fire escape behind me.
Sure enough, one of those cultists leapt upon me the second I opened the door. I had no time for games, however. I shoved that barrel beneath his jaw and opened fire. The top of his brains and bones showered like a firework from his skull. He dropped in a pile beside me, and if he got back up again, I didn't care. A hand shoved me forward, trying to grab me as I stumbled and I dropped the empty gun. It was stupid, yet I had no time to stop. I ran onward in the dark and pouring rain. I still heard them upon me. I heard their calls and taunts as they chased me on, yet I didn't hear the crash of all their footsteps. It was then I heard the crack like thunder and the white-hot pain of birdshot tearing my left arm to ribbons. I screamed, falling face first into the leaves. What adrenaline there was within me shielded me from shock. Getting shot feels like hot needles going in you. The sick smell of your own skin. Flesh and hair burning as every nerve in your shoulder screams that you're the one who's cooking. When you reach a certain threshold of agony, there's nothing left to measure. All that goes through your mind is fear and hurt. The impact sent me tumbling, yet somehow they had missed any organs. A half inch over and my back would have been hamburger to be left for dead. But now there was only the searing pain of the freshly obliterated shoulder, rain and detritus shoving its way in with every second. I was going to die here. I was sure of it. With all I had left, I stumbled a little more. I fell through a clearing and found the highway by my side. I cowered like a shaking dog covered in blood, trying to find the only thing that could give me a ray of hope. Headlights. Blind from the high beams, I did the only thing I could. I raised my thumb and hoped for the best. The trucker stopped and opened his door. He opened his mouth to ask me what had happened, yet a gun shot answered him. It peppered the side of his rig, and I didn't bother to ask if I could get a ride. I climbed into the passenger seat and screamed with all that was left in me. Drive! Drive he did. He tore down the road at breakneck speed and kept on going. It wasn't until three towns over that he stopped to get some gas. Man, he even gave me some food and let me ride the Chico. He even bought me a Walmart phone, left me some money and food. Anything he could spare. Now, I'm in a hospital bed. Shoulder bandaged, and typing this to you now.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.